Welcome to the Reach for Life broadcast from Christian Resources International. I'm Harry Jeffrey, and I'll be with you for the next half hour, featuring inspirational music and an uplifting message by Pastor Charles D. Brooks of the Breath of Life telecast. The Reach for Life program gives you knowledge for successful living in today's rapidly changing world. If you're raising a family, struggling with issues concerning your career, or seeking to enhance the overall quality of your life, stay right here. Reach for Life brings you thrilling messages from Pastor Charles D. Brooks, veteran evangelist and director speaker of the Breath of Life television broadcast. The Breath of Life telecast may be available in your area, and you won't want to miss it. Please check your local television listings, including your cable TV listings, for the time and station. Make sure you don't miss Pastor Brooks on the Breath of Life telecast. Set your VCR to tape the program for you if you have to be away. You can write to us anytime with your requests for prayer or your Bible questions. We are here to help, and we know of a Bible-believing pastor in your area that can be of further assistance. Write to us today at Reach for Life, Post Office Box 3339, Silver Spring, Maryland 20918. That's Reach for Life, Post Office Box 3339, Silver Spring, Maryland 20918 in the U.S. We'll give this address again later in the program, so you might want to have a pencil ready. Two Preachers Who Quit the Church is the title of today's message. Who are these preachers, and why would they quit going to church? Dr. Charles D. Brooks explains who they are and what's going on here. Let's listen as Pastor Brooks continues with part two of this gripping message.
One day Jesus saw a funeral coming. His heart was touched. There was a widow walking by the bier of her own son, and her heart was broken. Jesus walked out in the middle of the parade and stopped the funeral. And he went up to that mother, and he opened up the casket, and he said, "Son, come alive." And he came alive. That's wonderful. No wonder the people turned against him. The folk who owned the grocery stores didn't like him because he was going around feeding people free of charge. Doctors didn't like him because he was taking their client list and healing them free of charge. And now the grocers didn't like him because of the same thing, and the funeral directors didn't like him. Their best funerals interrupted, and they had to give refunds. He's wonderful. One day he saw his disciples out on the sea, toiling fruitlessly, discouraged, and Jesus needed to get out there. And there was no canoe, there was no boat, there was no bridge. So disdaining the inconvenience, Jesus just walked on the water. That's wonderful. It means that wherever you are, he can get to you. Why? Because he's wonderful. Who said there's no grace in the Old Testament? Abraham was at Mount Moriah about to kill his own son. And God didn't stop him till he had built the altar, tied up his boy, and placed him on there. God will test you sometime. He'll see how far he can go with you sometime. God just kept watching. And finally, Abraham whetted his knife. God still didn't stop him. But when he raised his hand in the air, God did. You see, before your hand can move, your brain has to tell it to move. My brain tells my arm to go up, and it'll stay there till my brain tells it to come down. And so a decision had to be made. And when that man made the decision that he wouldn't even spare his own son in obedience to God, that brain told the arm to come down and plunge the knife into the heart of his son. And at that moment when he decided, he heard a voice saying, "Abraham, Abraham, don't kill the boy. Look in the thicket. There's a ram there. Take the ram. That's grace." And then who said there's no wrath in the new? No work in the new. I can preach God's commandments entirely from the New Testament. John 14, 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Matthew 5, 17 to 19, he said, "I didn't come to change the law, but to fulfill it. Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least commandments and teach men so, the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven." That's the New Testament. Then you go on over to 1 John 3, 4, and the Bible says, "Whoso committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." That's works in the New Testament. James 2, 10, New Testament says, if you keep the whole law and break one, you're guilty of all. Revelation 22, 14. Now, if you ever think about it, that's as far as you can go in the New Testament. Revelation is the last book, and chapter 22 is the last chapter. That's the end of the Bible. Revelation 22, 14 says, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city." Somebody ought to say amen to that. Amen. Who said there's no works in the New Testament? Then there are those who say, "Well, there's no love in the old." It's amazing what men say. Sometimes I wonder what Bible they're reading. There's no love in the Old Testament. Why, in the Old Testament, one of the most poignant love stories you'll ever read is found. There was a prophet whose name was Hosea. What was his name?
Hosea.
God told that young man to go and take a wife of whoredoms. Wow. God said, I want you to marry a prostitute. Now, I can imagine Hosea had come up on the right side of the tracks. Hosea had a good family background. Perhaps as a seminarian, he had been thinking about a certain young lady, a virgin, if you please, a good girl that he wanted to walk with him through his ministry. And now comes the word of the Lord. And God said to him, I want you to take a wife, a prostitute for a wife. And finally, in obedience, he went and married this woman. And he led her out of the red light district. Led her on over to where the elite lived. Took her over where the decent people had their community. And I can guarantee you, when he married her, tongues were flying. They were whispering and gossiping everywhere they heard about it. Why, child, did you hear about that preacher that married that prostitute? And he took her home, and she bore him children. Read it, it's in there. And after a while, that woman turned wild again. She decided to revert to her old trade in the flesh. She left that man, as good as he was to her. Gave her his name, gave her his home, had children with her, fed her, took care of her, took her about with him proudly on his arm. Now, like some do even today, she turned her back on a good husband, went back over into the red light district, started in her trade again. And his heart was broken. You can believe that. Read it in there. He told his children, go find your mother and tell her to come home. I still love her. And one day, the word came that she had fallen on hard times again and was going to be sold at auction. Now, if Hosea was anything like me, he would have said, good. You know how we are. After all I did for her. She made her bed hot, let her lie in it. You know that's the way we are. Good. That's what she deserves. Now I imagine he was tempted with that, but while he's thinking about it, the voice of the Lord came. The voice of the Lord said, Hosea, I want you to go down to the auction. And when they put her on the auction block, I want you to start bidding, and nobody must outbid you, so take plenty of money with you. And this man was obedient to the word of God, and he went down, and they brought this woman out in her shame, her dress probably dirty and tattered, her head bowed, her hair hanging over her face, and all of a sudden, they started to bid, and she heard a familiar voice. And every time somebody would raise the ante, he went a little higher. And she finally looked out through her hair, and she saw her husband standing out there. And he kept on bidding until the auctioneer said, going once, going twice, sold to that preacher over there. And Hosea walked up there and got that shameful woman by the hand. Now, did she deserve this? Oh, no. He went up there and got her by the hand, spoke gently in her ear, led her tenderly down the steps, and started again toward home. And God said to Hosea, I want you to tell Israel that that's the way I am. Tell them to turn, O backsliding children, for I am married unto you. I will heal your backsliding. I will take you back again. I thank God tonight he takes people back again. Love, that's the Old Testament we're talking about. Love, like as a father pitieth his children, says the Old Testament. Psalm 103 and verse 17, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. And then in Isaiah 49:15, the Bible says, can a mother forget her suckling child? Yea, she may forget, yet I'll not forget you. And all of a sudden, I have learned that mothers will destroy their children, drive them into a lake and drown them. But Jesus said, a mother might turn against her children, but I'll not turn against you. Love in the Old Testament. who says there's no wrath in the new. One of the most dreadful chapters you can read in all the Bible is Revelation chapter 16. There the Lord gives a revelation of the seven last plagues that are coming upon those who are willfully impenitent and who receive the mark of the beast. And if you start off, it starts with a noisome and grievous sore. Men break out with blains and boils, and they are running and they're festering and they're aching and they stink. And you call the doctor, he can't help you. He's got it too. This is the first of the seven last plagues. Then while they are burning with fever, they go to their faucets and turn them on to get some water. Their bodies are crying out for, and blood runs out of the faucet. This is wrath. And I'm not going through all of them tonight. Might preach about them before we finish out here. Wrath, God's anger against those who continue to rebel against his authority. Wrath in the New Testament, Revelation 20 and verse 9 says, the devil leads the wicked up to the holy city. Where did it come from? Revelation 21 says, I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. The Bible even tells us where it's going to land. It says the Mount of Olives will split in two and level off and become a plain, and the holy city will come down to the very place where Jesus ascended from. There it is in all of its splendor. Its walls of jasper standing 57 feet high, and you can see through them just like you can see through eyeglasses. All right. And the wicked are raised in the second resurrection, and the devil marshals them together, and they go up to try to take the city. And the Bible says in Revelation 20 and verse 9, fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. That's hell. All this foolishness about hell burning now. I'll talk to you about it before I'm through. Hell is going to burn in the future. You ask people, where is hell? Down yonder. What do you mean down yonder? Well, down yonder. People have dug into the earth. They have found sand and rock and granite and coal and diamonds and gold, silver and platinum and copper. They found everything except hell. These fairy tales that are preached do not hold true. Somebody ought to say amen to that. When is hell going to burn? It will burn after the millennium, after the second resurrection, when the wicked try to take God's city. The Bible says fire comes down from God out of heaven. Wrath in the New Testament. The Bible is one whole. There is no problem between these brothers. There is no disagreement. We should not even try to create such a thing. In the Old Testament, looking forward to Jesus, he was called Shiloh. He was called the great I Am. In the Old Testament, he's called the seed of David. In the Old Testament, he's called our high priest. In the Old Testament, he is called the Lord, our righteousness. But in the New Testament, he's called something else. He's called the door. He's called the way. He's called Jesus. He's called the Lamb of God. He's called the true vine. But they all are referring to the same Christ. One day John was placed on the Isle of Patmos. John was the only disciple that had not been done away with. Tradition says they put him in a pot of boiling oil, but he was miraculously saved by God. And when they brought him out of that oil and he wasn't dead, they had to hide him away lest people worship him. So they put him in prison on Patmos. Hard labor the rest of his life. And they told him, you gotta work every day. But there was one day John didn't work. And that was the Sabbath day. And he found a cave and was on the backside of the island. And Jesus came down. Gave him a revelation. The Bible says that Jesus came and John fell at his feet. And he began to describe Jesus. And I can imagine John saying, look, Jesus, you told us disciples to carry the gospel into all the world. Now Brother Peter has been crucified at Rome. Brother Paul had his head chopped off at Rome. Andrew and Bartholomew were slain in India, skinned alive. And one after another, they all are dead. I'm the only one left, and you told me to go into all the world, and I'm in prison out here. I'm the last one. And Jesus said, my friend John, you got that a ways wrong. You're not the last one. I am Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the end. And as long as I live, the church has somebody to lean on, somebody to lead them. Oh, my friends, the Bible tells us in Micah 5, and this is amazing to me, in the book of Micah chapter 5, Old Testament even told us where Jesus would be born. Start reading verse 2 and read to verse 7. And it says, but thou, now don't miss this, and I'm going to end with this. It says, but thou, O Bethlehem Ephratah. Now wait a minute. Here, hundreds of years before Jesus would be born, the Old Testament names the town. Now there are a lot of towns called Bethlehem. I know of three in the United States. I used to live near one in Pennsylvania. Bethlehem. Steel. You heard of Bethlehem Steel? They made steel up there. So here is the prophet saying, but thou, O Bethlehem, and lest you mix it up with another Bethlehem, he said, Bethlehem Ephratah. What does that mean? O Bethlehem of Ephrath. That's like saying Phoenix, Arizona. Very specific. The prophet said, but thou, O Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little amongst the provinces of Judah, yet out of thee shall it come forth. Yes, now that's what you call sticking your neck out. I'm glad I serve a God, when he speaks, it comes to pass. What do you say, church? Amen. The prophet named Bethlehem. Now I was over there and I began to ask questions. I wanted to know, how far is Bethlehem from Nazareth? And my guide said, at least 75 miles as the crow flies. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to get the picture. Hundreds of years before Jesus was born, the Old Testament named the town Bethlehem of Ephrath. Now, if I were God, the safest thing to do would be to find a virgin in Bethlehem. Huh? But he didn't. He found one in Nazareth, 75 miles away. Now, it seems to me that God would have said, since I have chosen a virgin way up here, I better get her and her husband down there, let them get themselves an apartment so they can be there as the baby comes. Waited till she was 9 months pregnant. I want you to get this. If Joseph and Mary had not ended up in Bethlehem, the Bible would have been a lie. Because the prophet had named Bethlehem. He didn't name Nazareth. So they got to get down there. Now they wait until a baby is due at any time. What could make a man in his right mind travel at least 75 miles on a donkey with a pregnant wife? They didn't have any ambulances. They didn't have any helicopters. What kind of man would do that? And you know, you hear it every Christmas in Luke chapter 2. And there went forth a decree from Caesar Augustus. A decree. Let me call it an imperial decree. And when the emperor gave a decree, you didn't have any option. Augusta didn't care a thing about women, especially Jewish women. What did he care that that woman was pregnant? He gave a decree, and Joseph had to go or die. So he saddled his donkey, and he padded it well, and he put his wife on that donkey, and he started out. And he had to travel slowly. His wife's pregnant. He had to stop often to let her rest. And while he is traveling slowly and stopping, everybody else is rushing past. And when he finally got there, after perhaps several days, there was no room in the inn.
You know that there is something very special he'll do in your life, better than you can imagine. He'll take your heart and make your life brand new. Let the Savior take control of your life.
You've been listening to Pastor Charles D. Brooks with part two of the sermon entitled, The Two Preachers Who Quit the Church. We'll bring you the conclusion next time. As you know, we have been airing messages from a special series of meetings held not long ago in which Dr. Brooks presented all the biblical teachings essential for Christian growth and maturity. This special series is called the Breath of Life Crusade. Since our time together here is so brief, we are able to share these messages with you only in small chunks at a time. However, the whole set of 28 full-length sermons is available right now, and we recommend you add this priceless set to your library. We've also included the popular question and answer period, in which Dr. Brooks addresses specific questions from the audience. Not only will this material fortify you in the truth, but it provides a convenient and effective Share Your Faith tool. For more information, contact us and ask for information about the Breath of Life Crusade. Just call 1-800-528-8929 and ask for information on the Breath of Life Crusade. That phone number again is 1-800-528-8929. 1-800-528-8929. Ask for information on the Breath of Life Crusade. We'll get it out to you right away. If you're outside the U.S., call 1-301-439-2952. Again, if you're outside the U.S. and want information on the Breath of Life Crusade, call 1-301-439-2952. Our mailing address is Reach for Life, Post Office Box 3339, Silver Spring, Maryland, 20918. Reach for Life, Post Office Box 3339, Silver Spring, Maryland, 20918 in the U.S. Contact us today. I'm Harry Jeffrey, your host for the Reach for Life program. On behalf of Pastor Brooks, Adrian Wesney, music arranger, and Myron S. Otley, our executive producer, thank you for listening. We urge you to invite Jesus Christ into your heart for peace, for true happiness, and for everlasting life. Reach for Life is a production of Christian Resources International. Until next time, God bless.